Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We're going to be doing the citizenship test today. I am so very excited about the citizenship test because we are moving right along in our journey of 100 questions. 100 questions, and we are at question 76. Will we be deported? Will we be deported? We definitely are repenting for thinking we knew something. Also, if you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. As we were talking about Uzbekistan, Russia, as the church is exploding in growth and it's happening in a powerful way, we're believing that that can happen. A rapid church planting movement can happen in America. Because the key is the individual, the key is the family, and then everything else will follow up. When the church gets it right, the nation will get it right. And so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio, Extra Hour. We're going to be talking about, in the Extra Hour, exponential transformation, how to transform a city, how to transform a nation, how to transform a family, and it's going to be very encouraging to you. It's going to show you, hey, this is something I can do. This is something I can do, and it begins with me. Yes, VFN Radio, I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos.
Hi.
Man, here we are. It's time for the citizenship test. Oh, it has been all the way since we've actually had the test, and I'm just pumped about being able to give it. And what I need to do is explain to you how it works. How it works is there's 100 questions that are given to everybody who wants to become an American citizen. And if you are American, if you're born in America, you're like default. You're like automatically American citizen. You don't have to know nothing. You don't have to know these. We thought, but now we're finding out if we don't learn about our Constitution, if we don't learn about the Declaration of Independence, if we don't learn what our founding fathers had in mind, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. And I think about, you know, just real quickly again about the doctor that was speaking at the prayer breakfast.
Ben Carson.
Yeah, he said this guy, he said his mother, he likes to buy his mother expensive gifts. And so one time he bought her two birds that talked. And it's like $5,000 birds, and send it to his mother. And he calls her up a little bit later and says, how did you like the birds? And she says, they was good. And he's like, you ate these? These birds talk and dance and do all these fancier stuff. And she says, well, they should have said something. but this is how he ends that. He says, and that's what's going to happen to us if we don't say something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just going to be devoured. We're just going to be obsolete.
That's right.
And that's why we're doing the citizenship test. We're learning as we go, and we hope you're learning with us. And you can go back to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com, and you can hear all the questions up to today and our wonderful responses. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. So what happens is, of course, we're very excited that, yes, you'll hear an applause like that when somebody actually gets a question right. When they get it wrong, you'll hear. But sometimes we need time to think. So when you're thinking, you're going to have personal time to answer, your personal time to be able to think, because this is going to be a test given to Pat and John. They're doing so well at this. I think John is the closest one to self-deportation. I'm not sure. But Iran or North Korea, I believe, now has some empty lots that they've blown up, some spaces and things there. And so we're going to go to the first question. This is for the U.S. citizenship test. This is what you have to take and pass to be a United States citizen. And question number 76, which is numero uno for us today because we're only doing five of them, is going to John. John, here's the question. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Man of faith. Question is, what did the Emancipation Proclamation do? What did the Emancipation Proclamation do? All right, John, are you ready for your final answer?
I'm ready.
Okay, here it is. This is for your citizenship. Don't take it personal. You'll have to go to the back of the line. If according to the speech last night, if you don't get this right, but you, when you get back up, you can take the test again. Here is the question from the U.S. citizenship test. Are you ready, John?
I'm ready.
What did the Emancipation Proclamation do?
Alex, for 5,000, I'm going to say it freed the slaves.
Hey! Oh my goodness. That's exactly it. That's so important. That is so important. And it freed the slaves, and that was an executive order that was signed by President
Lincoln.
President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, that became a law. Mm-hmm. And but it was constitutional executive order, you know, he did that. But you know, it's amazing. I was talking to a waiter at the Cracker Barrel, and we're talking to him about something, and he's looking at us like we're just foreigners, and we're thinking, we're so old, these people don't even know about these things. You can't assume just because you know something that this generation knows it. And that's so important, because that was the moment a president did what was right in a powerful way. And despite Congress, despite Senate, he signed an executive order called the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed the slaves in America. Is that powerful?
Wow. Mm.
Totally, totally powerful. Yes. Pat.
Yes.
Here's your question. I see you got your Samsonite and you're ready to go. But if you get this right, maybe.
Make sure the phone's not in his hand. Just make sure.
No, he's not.
All right.
Well, it's the finger that couldn't do anything anyway.
Oh.
No. Here's a question, Pat. From the U.S. citizenship test, question next. What did Susan B. Anthony do? What did Susan B. Anthony do? From the U.S. citizenship test. So you do not have to go to Kyrgyzstan. He's still looking all over the place for this answer. It looks like anything's happening. So I'm like, sure. Like, what did? I'm asking a couple of times and maybe it'll come down.
I heard him. He was like, Lincoln.
Yeah, he was all over that, wasn't it? Knowing your stuff, he's like, we'll find out. Maybe he's just throwing us off by the blank look in his face. Let's just see. What did? He's rubbing his forehead.
To me.
Yeah. This is from the U.S. citizenship test. What did Susan B. Anthony do?
Okay, it's shot in the dark. Two things come to mind.
Oh, great.
All right. What did she do?
She designed the American flag.
That was Susan A. Anthony. This is the next one.
Right,
Susan
right.
B. Anthony. No,
didn't have something to do with the. I better not say it. Go ahead. I got it anyway.
Well, you notice that John's not cutting in right here. Okay, this is the question. What did Susan B. Anthony do? She fought for women's rights. Ooh. Tracy, I can't believe he doesn't know this. This is so important. I am just blown away that he didn't know about Susan B. Anthony. Remember?
Wow. No.
Right.
I was with him
on
that.
Is there a way to revoke a high school diploma? Is there a way to submit for that or something?
I don't remember anything.
Did
about
you know
the school? No, because he would have cut in on you like you did him.
Yeah, he probably would have.
Question number next from the U.S. citizenship. Question number next from the U.S. citizenship test. Well, I was like, how many cells does Sally sell? Okay, we're going to go to the next question. Name one. Uno. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s. You should have seen Pat's face. It was just like, he's like, great, he gets all the easy ones. Isn't the answer all of them, Alex? No, right, no, I'm joking. Name from the U.S. the test.
For no, citizens, no, we want to hear it. The what test?
For the
citizen,
from the U.S. citizenship test.
Citizen.
Question number next in the tournament for citizenship. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s.
John. I'm going to go ahead and say World War One. <Yeah.
laughs> And like most of them, when they all fought, it's like, correct. You get the answer. That's correct. World War One, World War Two, the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War. And today, all these wars going on at the same time, we just call the terrorist war. Isn't that something?
Yeah,
that was pretty good. You should have seen Pat like, dag, he gets all these easy ones. But here comes one for Pat from the U.S. citizenship test. Question next is, I mean, we really want you to be a citizen. I mean, think about it.
I'd like to stay a citizen.
I mean, you cannot speak anything but Cantonese. So here
not very well.
Not very well. That question is from the U.S. citizenship test is, who was the president? Who was the president? I'm sorry. Who was the president during World War One? All right, Pat, from the U.S. the citizenship test. Who was the president of Kyrgyzstan? Just warming you up for the new citizenship.
All right.
Who was the president of the United States during World War I?
I believe he was your favorite president, Woodrow Wilson.
Whoa!
Woodrow. Yes, Woodrow Wilson is the one responsible for the United Nations. He said that we would never go to war, and of course, he actually promoted the war. And because World War One happened because he actually felt like government should play a bigger role, so government should be bigger. But when World War One was happening and we weren't involved in it, they were so busy fighting each other, they weren't buying our products. And so the trade tax, the export tax and all that just dropped, and that's how the government was supported. Wow. And so it was because he wanted big government, he got America of involved in war, in World War One, so we could have big government. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And he also is the one that, and believe me, the progressives went and got him. He was teaching, and I believe probably in New Jersey, one of the universities there, I forget now, but you can go back and... Yeah, Princeton. You can go back and listen to, just type in Woodrow and the Torch and you'll hear all the things. And they wanted to promote their agenda through him. He was a speaker and a professor that could speak, and his students got up and applauded him. He had the ability to deliver a message. And they already had his message they wanted him to deliver. And that's how we actually declared war, because he thought there should be big government. I mean, think about the whole picture of that.
Wow.
And he saw problems going on in the country, and he thought that they're not being met. Maybe the answer is the government can meet these problems, you know, things that were taking place. Well, that was going good until the war started. When the war started, all the tax money that came in that supported the government that came from people buying our products began to drop down.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did he do? We got to go solve this war in a hurry so that it will never, people start buying our products again. They can afford this big government. So then, once it's over with, of course, America is pretty dominant on the stage of helping win the war. So he begins to write up the whole concept of the League of Nations. And the League of Nations was, if we tie all the nations' economies together, they won't fight each other because that means they'll crash. Well, America, obviously, in his mindset, was already tied to the other nations because they bought our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And in the context of that, he developed the League of Nations, and he eventually died. They didn't go for that. But as soon as World War II was finished, they brought his concept in. They just adopted it and changed it a little bit, and they call it the United Nations today. So, yes, Woodrow Wilson thought we should go to war because of, based on history, that we should have big government.
Huh.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Thank you, Woodrow.
Yeah,
thanks. You.
Thanks, Woodrow. Thank you, Woodrow. He segregated an unsegregated military.
Mm.
I mean, he did all these things, and these people having this Woodrow Award. I'm like, Woodrow, why would you have a Woodrow Award? Anyway, the question last. This is going to go to John. Thank you, Pat. It was very helpful with that. From the U.S. citizenship test, John, here it is. So you will not have to be deported from the United States and get to the end of the line. For your citizenship of America, here's your question, the last question of the day. Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II? Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II? Okay, here it is. It's got to be your final answer. This is the last question for the day for the U.S. citizenship test. Here it is, John.
Let's see.
Question last. The question is, who was the president during the Great Depression and World War II?
Now, you're asking who was the president of this country, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Not Kyrgyzstan. Not Afghanistan. Who was the president of the United States?
Yeah, there's a lot of presidents.
Yeah, you have to ask that nowadays because you never know. Are you really president of the United States? Because you're doing other things. Who was president of the United States during the Great Depression and War II?
I'm going to go with FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Delano. I think that was his cousin.
Think about it. Yes, that's absolutely right. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And that it's interesting how they put these two characters. You got Woodrow and you have Franklin Roosevelt, D. Roosevelt, inside the citizenship test. It's almost like, what are we trying to say here? Is the progressive movement the movement that we're trying to promote here? Or, you know, is those values and all? Well, y'all did a wonderful job for the U.S. citizenship test today. And we are almost done. 20 more left, and maybe we will not have to self-deport. We'll be right back after this break. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to Himself, and you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you, and that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function, and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but He won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on VFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they'd never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go, and there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that He's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back and then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And mm-hmm. and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. We're talking about personal transformation. He says, "Be transformed." And think about it. You know, you look at all the crazy stuff going on today. Mm-hmm. You look at what's taking place in the church, or not taking place in the church, or what is taking place in the church. You look at society. You look at the family. You look at the world and uproar, the economy. And I have a personal plan for you. To begin a transformation that and I'm going to share with you can personally, in 1 year's time, you can affect between 3,000 and 100,000 people for God, wow, for transformation. Let me share it with you. You know, the very specific thing that the Lord did, as we share often, is that he came to transform us. He came to take us out of a sinful state and to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. But he says then, you know, he says that we are to become his disciple. Mm-hmm. We're to be transformed. The way that we do things or did things, we transform that. We begin to do them differently. I like what Paul said. You know, Paul said, and he's writing to the church in Rome, mm-hmm. and it's in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers," and this, we're talking to the church here, we're not talking to the world. Mm-hmm. "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy," thank God for your mercy.
Yes.
"In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And so think about it. How do we worship God? Some people like to sing. Some people like to say that they worship God, but the truth is, we worship God through obedience. We mm-hmm. obey him. That's why he says, offer your body mm-hmm. as a living sacrifice. Right. So if your body wants to go right, but God says it needs to go left, when you go left and you don't go right with the right attitude in your heart, you just worship God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You worship God. But the second part of that in verse 2, he says, do not conform. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. He didn't say do not conform for a few weeks, mm-hmm. you know, conform for a while, and then mm-hmm. every now and then don't conform, you know. Or he said very specifically, do not conform any longer to the mm-hmm. patterns of this world, but be transformed. Think about that. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. What his good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Think about it. He says, don't even conform any longer. But then he says, be transformed. And that word transform in the Greek, the word means metamorphosis. Literally go like a caterpillar would go into a cocoon and go through a metamorphosis inside the cocoon. And it would come out a butterfly. It's not a caterpillar anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a butterfly. And we're born again when we give our lives to the Lord. We cannot stop short of metamorphosis. We cannot stop this side of transformation. We are called, Jesus said, go preach this good news, and those who believe, baptize, then teach them to obey everything. In other words, let them be transformed, transform them, their way of doing things. And so you look at what's happening right now. You have a church in America that is, it stopped on the left side of transformation. It's tried to transform others. It's tried to transform the political parties. It tried to transform their communities, their business sectors. But they didn't start with personal transformation. Mm. And it's not us. It's God transforming us by what he says and what his word is. You know, he says that my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. So think about this. So then it's obviously not about political transformation, you know, and it's not about, you know, economic transformation. Is that when we begin to look at what God says in his word,
we transform ourselves by God's grace and the empowerment of the Spirit into beginning to do things God's way. He says very specifically, he said, if you follow my teachings, then you really, look at that word, really, really are my disciple. What does that mean? Is that you're not following his teachings, then you're not his disciple. If you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciple, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So how can we be set free from where we are today? It's through transformation. It's through spending time with God. And we talk about it quite often, and you could find out more about abiding at iabide.org. But through a simple abiding plan, you can begin to transform this nation, but it starts with you. But the definition, how we define abiding is, we describe as abiding as spending time with God regularly, reading his word, the Bible, hiding his word in our heart, which is memorization, keeping it, thy word hath hidden my heart that I would not sin against you. We don't know it's sin unless we have the word. Then communicating with God, praying and listening, talking to God and listening, then obey what he says or impresses on you to do. It's a simple thing. I mean, he tells us very specifically in John 15, 4 through 5, he says, you know, remain, and that's the word abide. Remain in Jesus, and Jesus will remain or abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain or abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide or remain in Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me, or abides in Jesus, and Jesus in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from Jesus, apart from abiding in him, you can do nothing. We can be religious. We can come up with all kinds of conservative parties. We can, you know, come up with our schemes and plans and philosophies, but it boils down to simplicity. This is what blew the Pharisees away, was they didn't understand how God could use a simple fisherman. But he says they took notice that they've been with Jesus. They abided with Jesus, and they knew this. And this is how we'll transform America. This is how we'll transform. This is how you'll transform your family. This is how you transform your church gathering. This is how the church grows and builds itself up. And think about this. Understanding then transformation is leaving God, the world's way of doing things and our way of doing things, and transforming ourselves to God's way of doing things. And he tells us that we cannot do this unless we abide with him. So just begin to abide. You alone, all by yourself, not thinking about anybody else, not talking about anybody else. You know, first take a 6-week challenge. They say it takes, you know, 40 days to build a habit. You know, take a 6-week challenge and say, you know what? I'm going to believe that God's going to begin to transform me all by yourself. You're not trying to transform your wife. You're not trying to transform your husband. You're not trying to transform your children. You're not trying to manipulate. This is you. You know, no agenda, you and God. And begin to abide with him, you know, daily for 6 weeks. Not 6 weeks in one day. Just say, I'm going to make a 6-week commitment to begin to abide. Why? Because if I'm going to be transformed, he says, we can do nothing outside of abiding with Jesus. So as I abide with him, as I hang around with Jesus and with that definition that I said about abiding, then all of a sudden, you know, I'm really his disciple. And then the things begin to become known to me and they become revealed to me. He says, then you'll know the truth. And when that truth is revealed to you by God through your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're set free.
Right.
I mean, think how powerful that is.
It's the truth that you know that sets you free.
Exactly. That's revealed to you.
Exactly.
It's revealed to you, and that comes with, you know, abiding with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is. So you first thing you did, you know, there's 300 some odd million people in America, but you're not thinking about them. There's, you know, a couple political parties, you're not thinking about them. There's 7 trillion denominations and non-denominations and different gatherings, you know, all kinds of, you know, you're not thinking about them. You're just saying it's all about you and God. And so what do you do? Well, you can find this abiding plan at iabide.org. I'm going to share a little bit of it with you. It's very simple. You need to first commit to it. I'm going to do it for 6 weeks. And then you got to decide when you're going to do it. You need to do it daily. You need to have the same time each day that you do it. a certain place, the very same place that you do it, a plan, and of course, we could talk about the plan right now. You know, what are you going to do? And then a goal, be very specific. And the goal would be, as we're talking about, you know, saving America, is personal transformation, you being transformed. And so when you do this, part of the plan is a simple abiding plan where you use a simple journal, a blank journal, and we have at iabide.org. We have a video for you to show you how to do it, every step of it, testimonies. I mean, it's all there for you, but I'm just telling you about it. And so if, whether you're in a gathering of 5,000 people on a weekly or whether you're in a gathering of two or three, and this is how you start. And then after you finish your 6 weeks, and of course, when you're abiding, you're going to write down every day the word that you're hiding in your heart. Remember, because part of abiding is you're hiding this word in your heart. And write it down for an entire week, that same scripture. And got some clues on how to do that. If you have difficulty with memorization, I talk about that at iabide.org. But the and then you begin to read the word, read the scripture that day. You know, stay consistent in where you are in your reading. And ask God, say, God, speak to me. Speak to me today. And all of a sudden, something will just jump off the page. Something will just stick out. Stop right there. Don't go any further. And write that down. And there's a way to do this. We have it there at iabide.org. And then ask this question. If you write down what jumped off to you in the scriptures or what God spoke to you, say, God, what are you saying to me about me? Not what are you saying to me about the world? What are you saying to me about my wife or my husband or my children? You know, what are you saying to me about me? And then whatever it is, you know, put that down. And then begin to pray, you know, what action does God want you to take over that? What's he saying? What's he impressing on you to do? And then the next week, which will be your second week of 6 weeks, you have a new verse that you write down every day for 7 days, and you're committing that to memorization. You're letting it wash over you and transform you. Because he says, be transformed. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. And you're finding out, you're abiding, spending time in God's way of doing things, the new way. You're in the Word. So this is really cool. So you finish that 6 weeks at this particular time, then you begin to pray and ask God, God, of all the people I know, if it's people in your present church gathering, it could be people in your workplace, I don't know who it is, but you find, you know, 3 to 5 people that you sit down with them, tell them about your experience and your personal abiding experience and what you've been doing for the last 6 weeks, and then challenge them to take the 6 week challenge. So now potentially you have 5 people that are doing what you did. It's pretty cool. Right. But then since you've already walked through that 6 weeks and you're going to continue to abide as, you know, as now that you've been abiding. So during their 6 weeks, while they're doing their 6 week challenge, you're abiding once it's complete for 12 weeks, right? But meet once a week. What you need to do is say, hey, let's get up at the coffee shop. Let's go to Starbucks. Let's go to the library. You know, let's have lunch together once a week. And we also meet at a certain time. And we come together, we will be able to discuss or share what the Lord had been sharing with us that particular week. And it's pretty cool because you see, let me tell you that this is rethinking church. Think about it. The church is people. And you're looking now that if everybody's believers there, then you're looking at the church functioning. You know, it started with one and now it's 6, you know, if you found 5. And 6, the church is beginning to grow. The kingdom's beginning to expand. Disciples are beginning to come forth, right? Because you're following the teaching. So when you come together once a week, you know, pray together. Then say, you know, I pick one thing that God shared with you this week and share it. Everybody gets a chance to share what stood out the most to them. You share your memory verse and you share what stood out. This revelation, because people begin to get revelation. I mean, all ages are get hearing from God. And then you pray together, and then you leave. And so once a week, you come together with those few people that you challenge to do the same thing that you've done already. And at the end of these 12 weeks, then, you ask the question to the group in your last meeting, the church gathering that you have there, hey, this is pretty cool. It's not as hard as religion has made it out to be. You want to keep meeting every week? And you'll be surprised. And the ones that say yes, then you continue. You know what you just did? You begin to form a gathering, a church gathering. And now what do? You continue doing what you just did. each of you go out and you challenge 3 to 5 other people to take the 6-week challenge. And mm-hmm. what happens? Another small group, mm-hmm. another church gathering begins to birth. And another one, and another one, and another one. And just think about it. There's and there's what? How many weeks in a year? 52 weeks?
52. Mm-hmm.
That means there is 8 6-weeks in a year. You know, if you divide mm-hmm. 52 by 6, you get, you know, 8 point whatever. Mm-hmm. So that means you have 8 opportunities to have 8 challenges in a year. So let's just say, for example, you said, this is pathetic, what's going on in society. You know, we've been doing, you could be go get a church gathering. It's like, what are we doing? We've been doing this same thing for 10 years and we're not mm-hmm. doing anything else. And we don't know each other. We don't even hear God's voice. And instead of blaming everybody and pointing your finger, just say, you know what? I'm going to begin to take that challenge myself. I'm mm-hmm. going to go to iabide.org. I'm going to get the simple plan and I'm going to do it for 6 weeks. And then you say, you know what? After that 6 weeks, I'm going to go out and find 5 people. I'm going to challenge them. I might have to talk to 8 to get 5, mm-hmm. but to personally challenge them, to transform them. Listen, you will never be the same. When you spend 6 weeks with God, mm-hmm. you'll never be the same. And you won't want anything else. This is all you'll want. You'll want to spend time with Him.
Right.
And after that 12 weeks, right, because you have your 6 weeks of your challenge and the 12 weeks, then the 5 of you ask the very same thing. Go out and challenge 5 other people. And keep your core group as you're gathering once a week because you've built this relationship with God and each other, and then help them do the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you do this for 8 consecutive sets of 6 weeks, in 1 year, you would have reached 97,656 people, introduced them to the voice of God, taught them how to relate to God and to obey God and to please God and to be transformed from the patterns of this world.
Mm. Wow.
And so often people look at 100,000 people and they think, that's just overwhelming. Well, it's overwhelming if you're planning on being God.
Yeah.
But if you introduce people to God instead of yourself or your organization or your denomination or your church building, and if you introduce them to God, mm-hmm. then God handles it. God handles it.
All right.
The stadiums that we see prophetically in the future that God has shown me is filled with people who are hearing His voice, who abide with God. Mm-hmm. It's not just some undisconnected celebration thing. It's no, these are people hearing from God. So no matter where you put them, no matter what you take away from them, they got God and they got their Bible and they have a blank journal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Just you starting for 6 weeks. That's one person for 6 weeks. Then you finding 5 other people to give a challenge after you've done your 6 weeks. You know, you've at that point, you know, you've reached 6. But it's exponential transformation. This is called exponential transformation because when those 5 go out and find 5, that's 25 that they find. And when those 25 finish their 6-week challenge and they go out and find 5, that's 125. And when those 125 finish their 6 weeks and they go out and find 5, that's 625 human beings that are being led to the abiding voice of the Lord. And when those 625 finish their 6 weeks and they go out and they begin to pray, God, lead me to the people that you want to be abiding with you, then that's 3,125 people in 36 weeks.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, if you only did half of that, I mean, think about it. If you spent your first week in personal transformation and begin to abide with God, and you just go out and find 3 people, mm-hmm. just 3 people, at the end of 1 year, this continuing on, you would have brought 3,279 people into an abiding relationship with God where they can hear His voice, that they know how to spend time with God. They know how to, and they're personally transforming. They're personally transforming others by bringing them to an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. What is happening? What's happening is the church is beginning to be the church. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing all these gatherings form, or you may call them small groups or whatever, but you're looking, since the church is people, you're looking at all these different church births that are taking place. So in a crowd of 5,000 people, for example, you know, it could be a whole bunch of church gatherings in that, the people that know God and know each other no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. means that the church can be persecuted and scattered, but because you have personal relationship with God and each other, it's still functioning.
Right.
It's still functioning. It begins, you're not going to transform anybody and anything by blaming them and accusing them and never even start to begin to. Transformation begins with you. It begins with you. And I'm talking about exponential transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about exponentially transforming yourself, starting with you, and then begin to transform your nation one man at a time,
mm-hmm.
one woman at a time. Mm-hmm. And think about it. Just in a simple scenario of that, that at the end of, you know, a year, when you're looking at five, you can take 97,000 and the 100,000 basically and divide it by five. And that's how many church births that's happened. This took mm-hmm. place.
Wow.
Think about it.
Wow.
You know, think about John G. Lake. John G. Lake started 5,000 churches in Africa during his ministry. 5,000 churches. And if you introduce them to your ideas, your concepts, and your philosophies, and you don't introduce them to God, this is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you introduce them to Jesus Christ and how to abide with him and to hear his voice, you can transform a nation.
Wow.
But it begins with you. Because when what's going to happen, and you begin your 6 weeks of abiding with the Lord, you're not going to be the same person anymore at the end of 6 weeks.
Mm-mm.
You're not going to see God in the same way. Mm-hmm. You're going to be so amazed at how he has an answer for each and everything in your life and where you're going and what you're doing. People are going to begin to notice there's a difference in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, religion's going to be broken off of you mm-hmm. and relationships going to be birthed in you. The simplicity and the joy of knowing Jesus Christ is going to come real to you like never before. And by the time you're talking to others about the 6 week challenge, you were so on fire because you realize you want them to have the same Jesus that you spent time with, that you got to know during your own personal 6 weeks. Listen, they're going to want what you got.
That's right.
They're going to take notice that you've been with Jesus. And this is like a fire. It begins to be spread across the land. Think about it. This is what the disciples said. They said when Jesus was talking to them, he says, did not your hearts burn?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And a fire, you want to start a fire in men's heart. That is the voice of the Lord speaking to them, and a fire that spreads across this land. Exponential transformation. We can transform this nation one man at a time.
Could you imagine, you know, John G. Lake planted over 5,000 churches in Africa, over 5,000 churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are getting saved, and within being saved for 30 days, 60 days, you know, 90 days, not only are they actually starting a church gathering, but they're actually starting church gathering, starting another church.
Right.
I mean, it just happens. You know, if we break loose from the flower pot, if we break loose from that thing that's retaining and just maxing out our roots. So listen, a vine is supposed to go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have a beautiful flower in a flower pot. Think of, you know, Charles Simpson in his book. Yeah, I think it's called Vines, Ants, Vines, and
Flower Pots.
Flower Pots. Isn't that mm-hmm. interesting? Yeah. And he talks about, you know, vines just meant to grow anywhere and to go anywhere. And Jesus said, I am the vine. Listen, we're supposed to preach the gospel to all, and then the end would come. We're not waiting for somebody to show up and preach it. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Imagine if you spend the next 10 years of your life just obeying God. Listen to Steve Hills. He talks about exactly what happens. You can get saved and get trained and get launched into the harvest field. Listen up.
And we lived in Argentina for years. And same thing. We would give an altar call. Someone would come forward, get saved. Next news you know, they've planted 3 churches. Blink your eyes. They've planted 10. Blink your eyes. And some North Americans down the road can't get anything off the ground.
Exactly right.
And I'm going, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the pitch. Let me just ask a couple.
I want to say this. It's the hunger. We're going to have to get hunger. Yes, we could. You could go to India. Right now, you can go to China. As a matter of fact, they're asking for so many to come. But America, the American church is kind of like, we don't need anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no hunger. You know, God moves by hunger. If we get hungry, if we say, listen, I'm ready to get all this out of my life that's not God. All I want is God, and I'm ready to go after God. Listen, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Listen, this is not a fairy tale. This is eternity. People every day are dying and going to hell. Every day, somebody, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's the guy that just installed your cable in your home, or maybe it's your appliance repair person, maybe it's your teacher, maybe it's your friend. I don't know, but are you telling them about Jesus? Have you break loose from that that's holding you back and begin to sow the gospel of peace? Begin to sow the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we're doing that at VFN Vine Fellowship Network. It's vfnfamily.org. If you want to find out something about it, you can be trained, you can be discipled, you can be launched out, you can be connected and rightly related. I mean, you can stay where you are and begin to grow right where you're at. It's amazing. You know, if the kingdom of God is within you, and this is just so exciting. You want to be a part of that. What's wrong in America? We're not hungry. We've fallen into sin. We got to repent. We got to rise up. We got to get hungry. We got to know that God is the only answer. All these other things that are happening that are distracting, they're just demonic distractions trying to keep us out of the ultimate goal of preaching the kingdom of God to all, and then the end will come. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's coming back, you know?
That's right.
You know, you can be either gather, you're either a gatherer or a scatterer. He says, if you're not gathering, then you're scattering. You know, you got to be a gatherer. You got to work in going out and winning the lost. God's called us. And listen, you can be a lengthener or a strengthener. You can be part of a team that's lengthening what is, or part of a team that is strengthening what is. But you're part of the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is not building a wing onto a building. It's actually telling another person about Jesus. We'll find out more about that at vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org.
Or you just go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. It's so important. And it's not about, you know, where you go. It's about who you are and who you follow. And right where you're at, personal transformation can begin right where you're at. Just believe God to use you, starting with you first, and to begin to reach a few people around you. And then you guys reach everybody around you. And all of a sudden, the entire church gathering, people who just showed up and were strangers every week, now all of a sudden you're all hearing from God, and when you show up, you all say, amen.
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 Wow. Wow. You know, it's time for the VFN Torch Top 3. We're coming to the end of the extra hour, and we're so excited to be sharing with you the top 3. It is very popular amongst Facebook and all of the ones that are listening to VFN Radio. We want to continue to share all the highlights with your friends. Share all the segments. We're getting back so much feedback from our VFN Radio listeners, and it just encourages us that we are together. Well, the VFN Torch Top 3, I want to share the number one for today is, no matter what happens politically, God's kingdom stands. That is so important, such an amazing highlight, because many things appear to be happening behind the scenes, as they do when men get involved in creating political divisions in America, right? But we know that anything divided will not stand. You know, we got to remember that no man's the answer. It's not about a party. It's not about the Democrats or Republicans. In fact, I love what T.D. Jakes says. He says, God's not a left wing or right wing. He's for the whole bird.
Right.
God's for the whole bird. And no matter what happens politically, the church remains. The kingdom of God remains and remains strong. Our hope for America, our hope is in Jesus and Jesus alone. We want to encourage you. Listen to this segment. Encourage yourself. Begin to think for yourself. Verify what you're hearing against God's word, because it's when God's people return back and look to God as the answer for America. Then let me tell you something, things will begin to change.
Right.
Things begin to change. So that was number one. The second one I want to share is pain relief, how to keep America. Pain relief.
Wow.
And this was an exciting segment. I look back, there's so many wonderful segments on the torch. And this is one reason why we have the top three, so we can go back and say, wow, I remember that one. That was really good.
It's sort of like one big loaf of bread.
Yeah.
You know, the bread of God's hope and word.
Right.
And then highlights are, and these segments are just like slicing that loaf of bread up so you can just eat it one slice at a time.
Sure.
Make you a sandwich with two highlights. I like that.
That's so good. Well, here's another slice of bread then in connection with that. We share how, in this segment, how Reverend Billy Graham and during his ministry was a consistent, and he was steady throughout his life in ministry through the tenure of many United States presidents. Well, you know, Jeremiah the prophet was just like that. Through many of the years of Israel's transitions, you know, he was the steady voice. He was the steady voice for the Lord. And God is raising up prophets to speak to his people. And God is speaking to his church. The question is, will we listen and will we turn? If you missed yesterday's segment, you got to listen entirely to the first and second hour because you're going to be so encouraged. It's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times. And God has been and is continually to speak prophetic. But we must tune our ears to what the Lord is saying, and we must obey. Now, if we listen to God's warnings, which really is a great thing, a warning means that it doesn't have to happen. You know, there is a choice. We can choose what God wants us to do, or we can continue to go the way of the world. And let me tell you, the answer for America, how do we keep America? We said it just a little while ago, is again in Jesus. It's only in the Lord. It's when we leave and turn away from our wicked ways and say, God, we repent. We want you not just back in our nation. Lord, we want you back in our hearts. We want you to reign as Lord of our lives. And then the last segment today we want to talk about in the top three is just my daily bread. Just my daily bread. And this is a wonderful wisdom moment. A wonderful wisdom moment found in Proverbs 30. Verse 7 through 9, and it reads, keep falsehood far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. Wow.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, it is so much better to trust the Lord for our provisions, to trust the Lord for everything.
And our number, that number is different for everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Give me enough. Well, some people can handle, you know, massive amounts of increase, and it doesn't change who they are.
Right.
Right.
And some people get a C note. And it's like, you know, where's the nearest Second Street? Where's the, you know what I'm saying? They just can't handle it. So to some people, it's different.
Sure.
You know, whatever that is. So we can't look at other people and say, that's exactly what I need to be. It's like, oh, God, just enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever that is.
He knows my number.
No, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows it. And the thing is, you know, can we stand to be blessed? You know, that's the whole question. The question is, can we stand to be blessed? Because so many times God wants to bless us with so many things. That's his desire. He wants to bless us. But. He doesn't want us to get lost in the blessing, lost in the sauce, if you will. It's like, I blessed you, I gave you all this stuff, and then I left you. Then you left me.
Yeah.
And we've seen that happen, unfortunately, a couple of times, and maybe more than we want to, you know, talk about. But that's the reality. The reality is that we need to stay close to the Lord, and we're not to get lost in you know, anything else. We need to just trust the Lord in his provision, trust the Lord that he is with us, trust the Lord in every season of our life. And we got to let the main thing be the main thing. You know, oftentimes that we get distracted by just desires or just wants and all this other stuff. Listen, let the main thing be the main thing. If Jesus Christ is the main thing in your life, if he's the main person, then let him be. And we do that when we set that time aside to abide with the Lord, when we allow the Lord to be the Lord of our life, when we say that, you know what, no matter what is happening in my life today, no matter what is happening at work, amongst my family, my friends, you know, I'm going to make Jesus Lord, and I'm going to set the first part of my day. And I know one thing for sure I'm going to do today. I know there's a lot of things happening, a lot of things going on, but I know one thing I'm going to do, and that is I'm going to set some time apart to be with God. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to listen to what he has to say to me through his word. I'm going to jot it down. I'm going to write it down. I want to keep that close, and I want to obey him. Just my daily bread. It's amazing how the Israelites had fresh manna every day. Isn't that something? If they stored too much of it, it went bad because they weren't told to store it. They needed to come to God every day for his provision. And God wants to provide for us in so many ways, not just financially, but emotionally, spiritually. He wants us to have an abundant life for him. All of our needs are met in God.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.